Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insights Share number 179. We're going to talk about complacency. And Otorsky said that working with people in recovery broadened his perspective about that. And it serves as a model. Alcoholism, other addictions serve as a model for other lifestyles that are destructive in their own way. Very important, you said he goes through it, whether it's the 12 steps, whether it's everything he said and his whole experience in regards to addiction. These concepts, these ideas are effective and important with many, many people who have no addiction whatsoever. And there is a complacency. They're satisfied with their status quo. They don't realize, cigarette smokers don't realize that very often, chas v'shalom, they get ill from it. It's sapping away their life without even realizing it. In many situations, it takes a rock-bottom experience to shake a person out of their complacency. It's not just necessarily with addiction that way or an illness that way. Even regular people in regular situations, everyone has their rock bottom where they're shaken up. Hashem does this sometimes to us. When he sees that we're not waking up, there's sometimes a matzav that's created, our particular rock bottom experience, that wakes us up. So he's gonna relate here, it's kedai to listen carefully, of a testimony of a recovering alcoholic that's a 46-year-old board certificate neurosurgeon. From his life story, whether you have anything to do with addiction or you're just a regular person in Baruch Hashem, you're free of addictions. You look at your own life, and if you look deeply, you will see with so many things you are on autopilot. And it takes sometimes a wake-up call to wake us up. And may Hashem bless everybody here that they should not need a rock-bottom experience to wake them up. So this neurosurgeon said that my moment of truth occurred in a small prison town, a small town prison cell. Woke up in a small town prison cell after a heavy bout of drinking. His head was pounding. My head was pounding as if a hammer was hitting it. My stomach was on fire. "Where am I?" I called out. "Is anyone here?" No one responded. I was left alone in my pain and utter confusion. It was an unforgettable experience that I pray I should never forget it. This is one of those interesting things, just on the side. He's praying he should never forget it. You see, very often when we have traumatic experiences, yours truly too, we often pray that we should forget it. After a while, I learned from this concept that I should pray I should never forget it. It doesn't mean you think about it all day long. But you never forget it. You learn the lessons from it. Now, after what seemed like a century of torture, the jailer showed up. "Where am I? How'd I get here?" And the jailer told me in the same small village about 15 miles from my home, a state trooper found you passed out in your car. Your car went off the road, and you're lucky to be alive. The jailer said, "Your ID said you're a doctor, but you don't look like a doctor to me. You look like a common drunk." No words in English language could have penetrated like these. When this jailer told him, "It says you're a doctor, but you look like a drunk to me." Everything I worked for in my life, everything I'd aspired to since my childhood, came crashing down like a house of cards. My father was a well-liked family physician, and I was going to outdo him. I was going to be a respected surgeon. I was going to drive a luxury car. I was going to be the envy of everyone. I was going to make an impact on society. It all faded away. I was a common drunk. My luxury sedan was abandoned off a country road. And no doubt the local paper will flash headlines, "Prominent neurosurgeon jailed for drunk driving." I had expended all my efforts to be a somebody, and I ended up worse than a nobody. I was mandated to a rehab facility, following which I had to attend AA meetings and be monitored. I was on probation from the hospital. For some reason, people were uncomfortable with a drunk poking inside their brains. The rehab, listen carefully to this. Everyone listen carefully to this. The rehab opened my eyes to the phoniness of my search for power and prestige. But the true realization took place in the AA meeting. I was respected as just Ed, a recovering alcoholic. My status as neurosurgeon did not count. I got a cup of coffee, no different than the guy on welfare. I could not boast about my Lexus because my driver's license was lifted and I had two previous DUIs. I was just another drunk who wanted to gain control of my life. I wanted to live my life for myself rather than for what people would think of me. Today is 4 years later since I reached that moment of truth in the jail cell. I am back in my practice. I am grateful for people that have trust in me to allow this ex-common drunk to poke around in their brain. I feel more comfortable with my identity as an ex-common drunk than I am as a prestigious doctor. Listen to that. I am more comfortable with my identity as an ex-common drunk than as a prestigious doctor. Now, it took an ego-shattering experience to break this man out of that lethal complacency. We all need to work on ourselves this way. We all have that ego. We build these buildings of structure of prestige around us when we are just children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a usher ani alike, the wise and the not so wise alike, the ones who struggle, the ones who struggle less alike, the high quote unquote members of society and the lower alike. You strip yourself of that, you realize that you are just a regular person. And that just a regular person is enough, more than enough, because there's really no such thing as a regular person. But the building up of yourself with prestige in this fake way will not get you anywhere. This is a wake-up call that you don't have to be a drunk, you don't have to have an addiction to wake up to recognize this if you look deeply in your life. This is one of those things that in AA meetings you have this, and I heard from a good few people. One told me that openly, and I heard it from other places. And Rabbi Bragg brought it out when he was going through treatments in Sloan Kettering. These AA meetings, when they're real, meaning it has to be obviously monitored, sponsored, a normal, healthy thing, there is no ego there. If done right, there is no ego there. There's no difference between one person and another person. You could be the highest, the lowest, the richest, the poorest, a billionaire with a homeless person. They're all on the same tier. And that's where healing and self-awareness comes from. The same thing is when you're actually, it's an experience people have when they visit these cancer wards. There's no, the ego goes away. You see, you're staring death in the face, a sakana of death in the face. And over there, the ego disappears. Our job is to get ourselves in the mode where we don't have to come on to shocking experiences, painful experiences, or rock bottom experiences to get to this realization. Halavai, we shouldn't. It is human nature where it takes sometimes this real shaking of our soul in order for us to wake up. But how would Hashem love from us if we learn how to do it mitay simcha, mitay shalva? Strip away the nonsense while things are good. Why do I need a traumatic experience to motivate me and propel me forward? Why can't I have this inner strength to recognize I don't want to hit a rock bottom? Let this moment of contemplation be my rock bottom and right now make a decision this moment to change for the better. Where is my life heading? This is not the way I'm supposed to be. This is not the way I envision myself. This is not, or is this? Is this the way Hashem wants me to go? Is this the path He wants me to take? People lost their ability to think. People lost their ability to think. Hashem gives you a mayach, gives you a brain, gives you direction, gives you yichailus, and we squander it. We squander it. We just don't think, what is our purpose in life? What are we supposed to do every given day? It's not like one day is the same like the other day, same like the other day. What can I accomplish to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is my shlichus in this world? What am I meant? What am I here for? What is the purpose of my life? How can I make my life more meaningful? We said this many times from Simon Jacobson in his book, Towards a Meaningful Life, what the Rebbe told people. Birth is God's way of telling you that you matter. So that's automatic. You matter. But now, what do? Make yourself matter. That's the removal of the complacency. This chapter is called Complacency. It's a big yesod. We are all complacent in many ways. And sometimes to be done like havschus, we are complacent because we got worn out from life, or you got zetzed, or under stress. You know, if you have work pressures and it seems never ending, it's draining. There's many reasons why a human being would get burnt out or complacent or give up. We have to fight that trend mightily and tap into our inner strengths and recognize that we have tremendous abilities and kaiches to bring out the best in ourselves and ultimately to bring out the best in others. We are here for that purpose. That is the role in life that Hashem gave us. He gave us a soul. He gave us a body. He wants us to use the body. He wants us to enjoy good things. He wants us to enjoy pleasures in life in a healthy way. But it's more than that. He gave you a soul. He wants you to use your body in accordance to the soul and fulfill your purpose and mission in life. The opposite of complacency is this mission statement, this goal, this drive. What am I going to do with my life? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses that I have to overcome? And what are the strengths that I can use in order to overcome those weaknesses? We mentioned this once or twice in a shiur. I saw it originally in the biography of Rav Chaim Kanievsky when he was asked why he does so much the Kabbalah's Panim of welcoming the crowd and giving them chizik for hours and hours on end when he could have written so many more svarim if he wouldn't have done that. One point, I think one of his Ulay Lekach Nivra, that his father used to tell him also, because he also spent a lot of time meeting people and giving them chizik and giving them etzis when he could have learned. He said, maybe that's why I have the Arichas Yamim in order, and that is the schus, to help others. And then Rav Chaim Kanievsky used to quote and bring down the Hagdama of Rav Chaim Volozhin's son in Nefesh HaChaim, the Hagdama of Rav Chaim Volozhin's son. And in that, he said, the son of Rav Chaim Volozhin, he talked about his anivus, his care of the people, the way he was mishtatif in the tsar of the tzibur and the yachid. And he said a small note here, very powerful. He used to give me musr, al shara, because he saw she'eineni mishtatif b'tzara d'achrini, that I wasn't mishtatif with the tzar of others. The koi hoya devorai elai tomid. The son of Chaim Volozhin said, koi hoya devorai, this was his words, elai to me, tomid, always, constantly. Shezeh kol adam, that's the essence of every person. Loi la'atzmei nivra, he's not created for himself. Rak lahoyil la'achrini, to help others. Bechoyil, kechoyil, ashe yimtza, bekoychoy lasis, in whatever capacity, as much as he is able to do. I did not see it inside. I must have missed it when I first learned it. Maybe I didn't learn that Dhamma properly, but when I saw the biography of Chaim Kanievsky referring to this, I turned back, and this is what it says there. This is one of those things, to remove a person out of their complacency. He gives you kaychais, he gives you abilities. You don't have to be a drunk, an alcoholic, being in a jail cell to wake up. You could be not an addict, but in a complacent mode, in a rut, in a root of just living day-to-day life without thought, and to wake up and say, Now it's time to wake up. Now it's time to use the kaychais that Hashem gave me b'matana and change my life for the better. Remove the negativity of my negative behaviors. Improve my marriage. Improve my relationship with others. Improve my relationship with Hashem. We should all have bracha and hatzlacha doing that. Bracha v'hatzlacha to all.